Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for the word of Christ. God's word is life changing. God's word is life transforming. God's word brings illumination. Hallelujah. I say this every time, that God's word is life changing. Every time I say it, God's word is life changing. It's not cliche. Hallelujah. It's not cliche. It's the reality. It's the truth of the word of God. God's word has the ability to transform lives. I welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast. Your life will not remain the same again. So today we are going to wrap up our teaching on what salvation is not. Still in the broader series, forgiveness of sins, remission of sins, or salvation by faith in Christ. So what salvation is not? So today we are going to further make progress on how salvation is not faith plus works. And then we are going to see one more consequence of believing a false gospel, which is very, very grave. Hallelujah. Very grave. You see, you cannot afford to not know the gospel. You cannot afford to just be gambling about the truth of the gospel. You can't afford to be gambling about it. You see, you could gamble about many things and the consequences are not very grave. Who to marry? It's an important decision you must make in life. If you want to get married, you must not mismarry. But then, if you gamble about who to marry, eventually, the worst that will happen to you is that you are going to have a hard time coping on the face of the earth. You are going to have an unhappy life, you know, and you know, that's bad enough. You can gamble about what school to attend. The worst that will happen is that you may not get the best education available. The best education, the best facilities. You may gamble about what business to do. And then the worst that will happen to you is that you're not going to make as much money. Or you're not going to be much more exposed to opportunities than, you know, several people. Than, you know, like every other person around you. Maybe your friends, your relatives, your classmates, anybody. Now, you could gamble about where to stay, where to live. Now, I'm not trivializing those choices. They are very important choices. But, I mean, a man could gamble about it and then we're trying to see what's the worst thing that will happen if you gamble about all those things. Because the truth is, a lot of people take those things very seriously. They don't gamble about those things. But when it comes to ascertaining whether they are saved or not, they just gamble about these things. Are you saved? I don't know. Are you willing to know? I don't have time. What is the worst thing that will happen if you gamble about where to live? Maybe poor security, bad road networks, and poor water supply, and all. For electricity, the worst that could happen. Maybe the environment is so noisy, your children are exposed to things they are not meant to be exposed to at a tender age. That's the worst that could happen. Glory to Jesus. But if you gamble about being sure about your salvation, if you gamble about the message you have received, you could just land on the other side of eternity. Hallelujah. You could just land on the other side that is not palatable. You could just be lost forever. That's a very grave consequence. You could just miss out on an eternity with Jesus, miss out on an eternity with God, miss out on an eternity in bliss and joy and gladness all the days of your life, you know. You could just miss out completely on God's goodness. You could just perish. You could just go into damnation and condemnation for life. You are just ruined and destroyed for not believing in the truth of the gospel. It is so grave. So you can't afford to gamble about your salvation. Gamble, you know, dilly-dally with your salvation. You must be sure. What have you believed? What message have you believed? Have you believed that salvation is by works? You must renew your mind and believe that salvation is only by faith in what Jesus has done. Have you believed salvation is by faith plus works? You must also correct your impression. Hallelujah. Those who believe in faith plus works, and maybe they started out just by believing that Jesus died for their sins, they are saved. But then they'll have a hard time living the Christian life if they believe that they must sustain or maintain their salvation by what they do. Glory to Jesus. So we can't afford to dilly-dally with what we believe, what we have come to believe. We must always check out what we have come to believe from the scriptures. If these things are not in accordance with the word of God, then we have to discard them and believe the truth. Hallelujah. So salvation is not faith plus works. We saw this yesterday. Let's make progress on this again today. Acts of Apostles chapter 15. Bible says from verse 1, and certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension in dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. You see, when Paul and Barnabas heard this conclusion of these guys, their commentary, when they said they must be circumcised, they must keep the law and things like that to be saved, they didn't say, well, that's their own revelation. That's their own doctrine. Maybe that's how God is dealing with them at this point in time. Maybe. And all the maybes we come up with today in doctrinal discussions. People will say, see, that is what God has revealed to them. Leave every man to his own belief. See, if your belief is just for yourself, well, not too bad. It's bad, but it's not too bad. But most times, when your beliefs are being taught publicly as things men should believe and embrace, man, that makes it very, very, very terrible. Glory to Jesus. Just like in the body of Christ, many excuses that people give for not engaging in doctrinal discussions, you know, they say to you, well, but that's what they believe. I mean, it's not affecting anybody. It is affecting people. Hallelujah. In fact, some people consider some discussions to be unnecessary. For instance, is it right for a woman to wear trousers? Is it right for a woman to plait her hair with attachments and all that? Is it right for women to wear makeups? Is it right for this and this and this? And then we can go on endless debates and arguments. And then people say, it's unnecessary. I mean, if you want to wear trousers, you just wear trousers. If another person wants to wear skirt, leave people, everybody to his persuasion. You are missing the point. These people that preach that women should not wear trousers are not leaving people to their persuasions. They are preaching it as a doctrine. That's what makes it grave. So you can't be citing Romans 13, or Romans 14 rather, where Paul was addressing the issue of leaving people to their persuasions. A man considers a food to be unclean, and then another man considers a food to not be unclean. He says everyone to his own persuasion. You can't be citing that portion of scripture because Paul is saying, in as much as these guys are not trying to impose their personality, impose their own persuasion, which is weak. Hallelujah. I mean, you believe certain foods are unclean. It's a weak persuasion. In as much as you are not trying to impose it on everybody, well, leave them to their persuasion till they outgrow it. But when a man mounts the pulpit and begins to preach these things as doctrine for the church, then it becomes a problem. Hallelujah. You know that when Paul was addressing this in Romans 14, let's quickly see this. At Romans 14, he says, everyone to his own persuasion. Romans chapter 14. Look at this now. Bible says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. Not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he will eat vegetables only. But he who is weak, rather, eat vegetables only. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, and he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Verse 5. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day, observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and give God thanks. And gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. So you see that the way Paul is teaching this is so liberal. A man believes a particular food is unclean, leave him to his persuasion. Another man says, no, how can we just be eating vegetables? Let us eat meat. Leave him to his persuasion. A man believes one day is holy. Another man says, every day is alike. Leave them to their persuasions. No disputes. But you see, the tone is going to change. Look at this. First Timothy chapter 4. The tone changes suddenly. First Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. First Timothy chapter 4. Look at this now.
First Timothy 4.
I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Have you seen? So some are going to go beyond having a weak persuasion that certain foods are unclean. They are going to start preaching it and imposing it on the saints. Paul calls it doctrine of devils. Paul didn't say, well, leave them. That's their own revelation. For preaching it as a doctrine that men must believe and embrace, Paul says it's doctrine of devils. Hallelujah. It's doctrine of devils. It must be resisted. Because at this point in time, it is not just something you have come to believe and you are practicing as an individual. You are preaching it as the doctrine of Christ. You are preaching it and imposing it on others. Now that's false. Glory to Jesus. So this was the reason why at Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas did not just let this slide. When they heard that some people were saying they must be circumcised, the Gentiles must be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, they didn't just treat it, you know, lightly. They didn't see it as one of those things, well, it's just their personal opinion. No, they withstood them. Bible says they had no small dissension and dispute with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. They disputed, they argued with them to a point where they said, see, you guys should go to Jerusalem. Go and talk to the other apostles in Jerusalem. It was that serious. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 3, Acts 15. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. They hadn't even allowed Paul and Barnabas to land, sharing their testimonies of what God has been doing in their ministry. They stood up again immediately, wanting to have the upper hand. They said, see, it is necessary to circumcise these guys. These guys, see, whatever God is doing in your midst, it's great. You are preaching to Gentiles, they are converting to God, it's good. But you see, you must circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. Glory to Jesus. Now look at verse 6. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. Verse 7. And when there had been much dispute, have you seen? Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the hearts, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Verse 10, now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. So it is not by the works of the law. That is Peter's argument. That is what Peter is concluding to. Peter is referring to the law of Moses as a yoke upon the necks of men, a yoke that neither they nor their forefathers were able to bear. Hallelujah. So he says, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his grace alone, we shall be saved. Glory to Jesus. Now, they disputed with them. They didn't agree with what they were saying. They didn't accommodate what they were saying. They disputed, they disagreed with them. And then they were able to reach a conclusion that, see, it is only by the grace of God that men are saved. Hallelujah. Now, observe also that even in this particular portion, they still determined that only the Gentiles should not be troubled. From verse 18, this is what James said. Verse 18, known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has had throughout all many generations due to preaching in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. So imagine this. And Paul did not debate this particular conclusion. He didn't debate it. He didn't fight against it. He didn't resist it. Why? Because that was their own decision as Jews. They wanted to continue in the tradition of Moses. No problem. That's your decision as Jews. It doesn't mean everybody is going to practice it. And you are not going to impose this on Gentiles who are turning to God. So that's fine. It's good. Most times when it's personal decisions like that, we can bear with the people till a point where they come into the knowledge of the truth. They come to fully agree with the truth of redemption. However, when they become teachers and they begin to impose these things on others and they begin to preach these things as the true gospel, then that's where the problem is. That's exactly where the problem lies. That's when the reaction or the response will be different. It will take a different turn entirely, a different shape. We're not going to accommodate it. We're going to resist it. Glory to Jesus. We're going to resist it because at that point in time, many lives are at the verge of being misled. Glory to Jesus. Many lives are at the verge of being misled, and we're not going to take that. So salvation is strictly by faith without works. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. Glory to God. Let's see that again. Romans chapter 4 from verse 1. The Bible says, what then shall we say, Abraham, our father, according to the flesh has found? Verse 2. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, have you seen that? To him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So salvation is to him who does not work. Salvation is to the man that does not work. I mean, this is serious. Glory to Jesus. Now, this is not my word. This is the Bible. Salvation is to them that do not work. Hallelujah. It is to them that do not work, but simply believe on him that justifies the ungodly. Faith is counted as righteousness. Glory be to God. Look at John chapter 6. John 6, 26 to 29. Something very powerful. John chapter 6, verse 26 to 29. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Verse 27. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Look at verse 28. So on hearing that, he said to labor for the food that endures to everlasting life. They said to him, what shall we do then that we may work the works of God? Do you know what happened there? What happened there was that they heard the word labor. They had misunderstood what he was saying. So for hearing labor for the food that does not perish, for hearing the word labor, they said, okay, what do we do to do the works of God? How do we labor? What is the labor? Hallelujah. But then they had missed that Jesus said to them that that food that endures to everlasting life is what the Son of Man will give. Glory to Jesus. Such that the labor is on receiving what the Son of Man will give. That's why Jesus' answer to them, verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. The work, the labor is that you should believe. So the labor is on receiving the word till faith is born in your heart. Hallelujah. The labor is on receiving the word of God till faith is born in your heart. The labor is on paying attention to the facts and details of the gospel till faith arises in the heart of the hearer. Glory be to Jesus. That's the same thing we find at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. Look at this carefully. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hebrews 4, 9 to 11. Look at this. Bible says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Verse 11, let us therefore labor to to enter that rest. Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. You can mistakenly interpret this to mean that let us labor, let us begin to double up our effort, let us begin to work hard at entering the rest of God. But that's not what he's saying here. It's a manner of speaking. Look at the first verse we read, verse 9. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Then verse 10. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. So you don't enter the rest of God by working. It is God's rest. The reason why it is called rest is because you did not do anything to get it. Glory to Jesus. So the rest of God is not something you work to obtain. It is rest. And what exactly is this rest? It's salvation. Glory to Jesus. It's salvation because from verse 1 of Hebrews 4, it says, therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. So the rest of God is that which came to us in the gospel. This rest is salvation. So how does a man labor to enter this rest? The same thing Jesus told them at John chapter 6, verse 27 to 29. The labor is only about hearing the word, paying attention to the word of God, till faith is born in your heart. Hallelujah. So the man that has believed enters the rest of God. The man that has believed has entered into God's rest. Hallelujah. This rest is our salvation. Look at Matthew 11, verse 28. Father, let's read from verse 27. Matthew 11. Glory to Jesus. Matthew 11. The rest of God is salvation, and the only way to labor to enter that rest is to labor to hear the word. Hallelujah. That's how sinners enter the rest of God. The labor is in hearing God's word. Do you know hearing God's word is labor? So that's the only labor. You pay attention. You listen. You are listening. You spend hours listening. Sometimes few minutes. But you pay attention and you are listening and you are listening till faith comes by hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. That's the labor. It's not labor to do anything. It's labor to receive the message. Matthew 11, 27 to 29. Look at this. 27 to 30. Let's do 27 to 30. Bible says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Have you seen that the invitation is from laboring? The invitation is from laboring and being heavy laden to receiving the rest of God. So that rest of God is not something you receive by laboring, because it's a call away from labor. Have you seen? It's a call away from labor and being heavy laden. So the labor that will be involved in receiving this rest will be receiving the word, receiving the message by which you find that rest. Hallelujah. That's all. So he says, verse 29, he now explains it. He explains how you receive that rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. It is via learning. Hallelujah. It is through learning. That's why verse 27 says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So the rest comes by revelation, by the gospel of Christ, by what he has to say to humanity, which is his gospel, the revelation that the Father has given him to men, or for men. Hallelujah. The revelation he has given him for men. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So how does a man find rest for his soul? By learning of Christ. Hallelujah. By learning of Christ, by receiving the gospel. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Have you seen? Because all that the labor entails is on receiving the word of God. Receiving the message till faith is born in your heart. Hallelujah. So salvation is without works. Salvation is by faith alone in what Jesus did for you and I. That said, let us see another consequence or implication of believing contrary to this truth. Glory to Jesus. You know, we've seen now that believing a false gospel would hinder you from being saved. Now, perhaps you were saved before being exposed to false gospels. That would hinder you from having assurance of salvation. You will never be stable as a Christian. And that will prevent spiritual maturity. So here's a fourth one. Another consequence of or implication of believing a false gospel is that it will hinder you from fulfilling the ministry. You won't bear fruit in the ministry as you ought to. It will hinder you from fulfilling the ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. The word study there is not study as per reading scriptures. No, it's the word that means to be diligent. Be diligent to make yourself approved, to show yourself rather approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. How? Rightly dividing the word of truth. So rightly dividing the word of truth is so key. A ministry or a minister that does not rightly divide the word of truth would have no approval before the judgment seat of Christ. It's so grave. Hallelujah. And how does a man learn how to rightly divide the word of truth? Look at the context of 2 Timothy 2:15 from verse 1. Hallelujah. From verse 1. You discover that what we receive is what we're able to pass on. So if you have believed the false gospel, this is what you are going to pass on to others. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'll read from verse 1. The Bible says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Have you seen? It is what we have received of men that we're able to pass on to others. That's why if you have believed contrary to the truth, this is what you are going to be passing on to others until you relearn the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:3, Paul himself says, I delivered to you that which I also received. So a man delivers to others what he has received. That's why we must take heed what we are receiving. We must take heed how we are receiving and what we are receiving. Glory to Jesus. Look at verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Have you seen that? Have you seen this? You are not crowned until you compete according to the rules. So there are rules for ministry. Hallelujah. Ministry is not do it as you like, do it as you please, just do it as led. There are certain rules. And we shall see how that rightly dividing the word of truth is a major rule in the ministry. You must know how to rightly divide the word of truth. One of the qualifications for, you know, for choosing leaders in the body of Christ, choosing leaders in the body of Christ today, in the Christian body, according to scriptures, is that the man must be able to teach. Hallelujah. He must be apt to teach. Glory to Jesus. So, he says, and then he says in verse 6, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Verse 8, he reminds him again, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. He reminds him again about the gospel. What the message is. Verse 9, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. The word of God is not chained. Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. Let's go to verse 14. See, Bible says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Remind them of these things. Remind them of what the gospel is. And charge them to not strive about words to no profit. Verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 16, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. For they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Imanaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Have you seen the message? Hallelujah. So, rightly dividing the word of truth is a major rule, alongside enduring hardship, and then not entangling yourself as a soldier of Christ with the affairs of this life. Rightly dividing the word of truth is a major rule for competing, you know, to play by in ministry. Glory to Jesus. A major rule to play by in ministry. So important that if you preach any other thing, you are referred to as a vessel of dishonor. Hallelujah. In the sight of God, if a man is not rightly dividing the word of truth, he is a vessel of dishonor. No matter how much he has, No matter how much following he commands, no matter what he has in this world, no matter the level of his clout and fame, see, nothing in the world can substitute or perfectly replace rightly dividing the word of God. Nothing in the world, nothing a minister has or owns, can make up for his deficiency in teaching the word of God accurately. Hallelujah. It's so important. I'm not saying this as a mere man. That's what Paul is teaching here. Look at this. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, what's the latter? The heresies of these guys. That pattern of false teaching and heresies. It says, if anyone cleanses himself from that, he'll be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Glory to Jesus. Prepared for every good work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, what Paul refers to as wood, clay, and stubble and all that at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 was false teaching. Hallelujah. The kind of work that will not endure the test. We're going to come to that very soon. So a vessel unto honor is the man that rightly divides the word of truth. A vessel unto dishonor is the man that does not rightly divide the word of truth. It's the man that is preaching heresies. Glory to Jesus. So how can you be preaching heresies and at the same time you want to fulfill the ministry? You cannot. So it is important to be assured of the gospel we have received. It is important to verify what we have come to believe. It is important to stick with the Bible concerning its description or explanation of salvation. Salvation is by faith alone, without works. Glory to Jesus. If we teach contrary to this, we run the risk of not fulfilling our ministry. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-2, Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. The man that believes in vain will run in vain. Hallelujah. You will run in the ministry in vain. Look at Galatians 2, verse 1-2. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. That is, if I cross-checked my ministry with them, if I had cross-checked my message with them, and they had told me that I was preaching a false gospel, that would mean I had been running in vain. Praise God. Preaching anything contrary to the truth of God's word is running in the ministry in vain. And that's so grave. That's heartbreaking. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15. This is where I'm going to close. 1 Corinthians 3, from verse 10. Bible says, according to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another built on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, you know, this sounds like 2 Timothy, what we read in 2 Timothy. Those materials are metaphors, are ways of describing that which is unto honor and that which is unto dishonor. Hallelujah. So each one's work, verse 13, will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Have you seen? See, what is going to be burned is not idleness. It is not that the person didn't do anything. Of course, that's why he's losing his reward. No. What is going to be burned is labor, work. Glory to Jesus. Labor. The same word used for laboring in the ministry, working for... The same word is the word used there for work. That is labor. A lot of sacrificial work is going to be burned. Why? Because the message is contrary to the gospel of Christ. Glory to Jesus. Vigils, conferences, books that have been written, lots of branches, Whatever you are building as an empire that is not built on the truth of Christ's death and resurrection, that is not built on the truth of the gospel, that deviates from the inspiration of the message of Christ, is going to be burned. Now, this is very grave. What is going to be consumed is work. In fact, sometimes some of the people who don't preach sound doctrine are very, very committed people. Very zealous. Look at how Paul says, I bear them witness. Romans chapter 10. My heart's desire and prayer for my countrymen is that they should be saved. Romans 10, 1. I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. You see, all that zeal was going nowhere. All that zeal was going to amount to nothing in the sight of God. Many times people who do not preach sound doctrine, who do not preach the gospel, are so committed. Meetings upon meetings. Vigils and vigils here and there. Conferences, seminars. A lot of effort is put into arranging and organizing meetings. But you know what? There will be no sentiment in judging our works. God is not going to say, because you had sleepless nights, because there were times you did not sleep, you were busy writing books. God is more interested in what you are writing than in not sleeping. Glory to Jesus. So if you are not sleeping and then you are writing sound doctrine, then your work is going to be approved. If you are not sleeping and you are writing heresies, God will prefer that you were sleeping and you were not writing books. If you were holding vigils and preaching heresies, God will prefer that you were not holding those vigils at all than to be holding vigils where you are propagating and promoting error. Glory to Jesus. The content is of first importance. Hallelujah. It's of first importance. What we have come to believe will determine what we preach. What we preach will determine whether we're going to fulfill our ministry and get our rewards. Hallelujah. So if we have believed a false gospel, we'll never be able to preach sound doctrine. We'll be preaching a false gospel which will get us disqualified at the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to consider these things carefully. Wherever you are listening, I want you to ponder on these things. What have I been preaching? What have I believed? Hallelujah. What have I believed? Am I preaching the truth of the gospel of Christ? Am I preaching the gospel of Christ with no additions and subtractions, with no mixtures? Am I standing and contending for the faith, for the truth, for the reality of Jesus' death and resurrection, the efficacy of his sacrifice? Am I contending for the sincerity and the purity of Christ's doctrine? Hallelujah. If not, you are running in vain. You are doing the work of ministry in vain. And guess what? It is not too late to retrace your steps. It is not too late to learn the truth of the gospel of Christ. It is not too late to adjust and amend. Hallelujah. Consider this teaching, God graciously reaching out to you. God graciously and mercifully reaching out to you before it is too late. Before you run your race entirely in vain. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Salvation is without works. Glory to Jesus. Salvation is faith without works. Christian living is faith producing good works. They don't mix. They are not the same concepts. Hallelujah. The man that is saved is the man that believes and trusts and relies on the sacrifice of Jesus alone. He's not looking to himself. He's not looking to any other source. He's not looking to any other thing. Hallelujah. All other ground is sinking sand. He relies only on Jesus' sacrifice and righteousness. Hallelujah. Christian living is faith producing good works as we mature in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philemon 1:6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Have you seen? So as we grow, as we mature in the Christian faith, we are able to produce the good works that God has wired us to do in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 to 17. All scripture is given and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, which is evidence, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished and equipped for every good work. Have you seen that it's as we yield ourselves to training, to proper indoctrination, that we are able to produce the good works that God has designed us to do in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe a proper distinction has been made between what salvation is and what salvation is not in these teachings. Hallelujah. In this short series. Glory to Jesus. So go back to them, listen again and again till your heart is established in this truth. One more thing you can do is to dash somebody this series. You could just, get all these series on what salvation is not. We have 8 of them. You just take them from this series, from this broader series of forgiveness of sins, and then dash somebody. It could be your friend, your neighbor, somebody. You are in doubt of somebody's salvation. You are in doubt of what somebody has, you know, a friend or a colleague, somebody, anybody at all, has believed as the gospel. Just take all these 8 teachings and then give it to them. Share with them. Encourage them to listen to those messages. And let's watch God transform their thinking. Hallelujah. Let's watch God transform and renew their minds with the truth of His word. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite people. Invite your friends. Put on your social media status, your family members, colleagues. Tell somebody about it, and let's come together again to have a great time in the word of God. I'm being blessed, and I trust you are being blessed also. Do have a great day full of the word, full of the spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs. Be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.